We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Sheeman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
This is better than Wham. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Genesis.
Right.
Saw them.
Saw them in person?
Yes, saw them at Gillette. I mean, it wasn't Gillette, whatever the hell the name was back then.
Back in the day. How were they? How were
you? Excellent. Excellent.
Foxborough High School Stadium?
No, it was a little, yeah, it was in between.
Oh, it was between, they had a different home?
Yeah, well, no, it had a different. It was slightly renovated. It wasn't what it is now. It was the old stadium, but just a little more renovated. Yeah, but I had seats on the floor.
Yeah.
Only thing that happened was some idiot drinking a Kahlua and milk spilled it on me.
Kahlua and milk at a concert.
Kahlua and freaking milk. He snuck a nip in, and poured it. And I don't know, it spilled on me.
It's terrible.
It was awful. Awful. Luckily, I had shorts on. It just really went down my leg, so it wasn't too bad. But yeah, I'll never forget. Great guy. They played for like 3 hours. It was a great show.
Wow. Good times.
Yeah.
All right. So you heard at the top Chris's lengthy request by the Pelicans. Lengthy. How should I rephrase this? Their demands
unrealistic.
Are extreme.
Yeah.
There are two reports out now, including one from the Los Angeles Times, that the Lakers are pulling out of trade talks because of the quote-unquote outrageous request by the Pelicans. Six players, multiple draft picks, and salary cap relief. Now, bear in mind, we're less than 48 hours from the trade deadline. Do we think that this is them really pulling out,
no.
Or is this Magic getting frustrated?
Yeah, they're not pulling out. They're hanging back a little bit. Adrian Wojnarowski, I think, summed it up that if the Pelicans want to counter, this is 2 hours ago, the Pelicans want to counter the Lakers' most recent offer on Davis, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka are obviously anxious to find a pathway for a trade. This is a negotiation tactic on behalf of the Lakers, who have wanted New Orleans to show more initiative in the process. That's all this is. This is just a chess game right now. They haven't pulled, I don't care what the LA Times says. Nobody's officially pulled out anything. This is typical 2 days before the trade deadline.
If I were both of them, neither of them should answer the phone now for about 40 hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should really let this go till Thursday afternoon. And by the way, we have scheduled John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, to join us Friday for the aftermath, kind of clean up this mess. And see where we're at this point. In a moment, I wanted to get into the outrageous LeVar Ball comments. And stop me if you've heard this before.
Stop.
But this may top them all. We'll get into that in a moment. But first, I have a little breaking news in the college football world. Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
You will remember that Michigan hired away Josh Gattis from Alabama, right, to be the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was said at the time that Gattis would be given full control of the offense. We know that Jim Harbaugh has called the shots on the offense and has also always had Pep Hamilton with him.
Yes.
Going back to his Stanford days.
The Pepster.
Pep Hamilton is out.
Fired.
In Ann Arbor. Gone.
Wow.
Poor Pep.
Poor little Pep.
Is that an appropriate use of the sounder?
Poor.
You
didn't think
news.
It was breaking news?
I had my hopes up.
He was one of the few assistants.
Like you said, 48 hours before the NBA trade deadline.
One of the few assistants making more than $1 million in college football, I can tell you that.
It's a big deal in Michigan.
He's assistant head coach and passing game coordinator.
Yeah. Fact. I think, your question, yes, that was worthy of the sounder.
Okay. All right. Fine.
During this year, Wolverines averaged 419.5 yards per game, tied for 50th. Yes, 50th FBS programs.
I'd like to point out for the record that as of February 5th, Jim Harbaugh still is the head coach at Michigan, Pete Shepard.
You're right. All right. I thought Ross
and the Miami Dolphins just announced another guy yesterday. Just throwing it out there.
I thought Ross would make a big time play this year. I was a little off, but you've already granted me this. If they, I don't care what they do next year. If they lose to Ohio State, we agree he's out. He's gone.
I think
he will go back to
the NFL. The chances are much higher. Yes.
Okay.
You still owe me a sandwich on the first game, though.
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you for acknowledging
that. I'll pay up tomorrow if you like.
No, no, no. We'll wait. I want to drag this out.
Wait to what?
Until September 1st. This is the
So you still you think he still might leave?
No. No, I'll take my sandwich now.
You know what? No, let's wait till, because maybe some scandal comes up. And he gets, well, what was the bet? No, the bet was he had to come to the Dolphins. So no matter what happened.
He's got to be on the Michigan sideline the first game of the season. That was the verbiage of the
bet. Then we'll wait because you never know. Things can happen.
An accident can happen.
Coaches can get
wish
fired.
Bad things on people.
You know?
Yeah.
No, you never know.
I mean, Urban Meyer ran into trouble during the summer. I mean, stuff happens, right?
Stuff does happen.
All right. Let's get back into basketball after I...
Do you think Josh Gattis had something to say about that, the new offensive coordinator?
Well, I think it was telling in the fact that when Gattis was hired, it was announced that he would be having full control of the offense. Jim Harbaugh's never given up full control of his offense.
Pep was making over $1 million a year.
Yeah.
One of the highest assistant coaches in all of college football.
He was big on Pep. And they go back a long time.
Well, Pep, he pooped out.
Yeah, didn't work out. And maybe it's a sign that Harbaugh is feeling the heat, if there is heat, which I claim there's not heat.
Of course he's – Craig, it does not matter who's coaching Michigan. You are feeling the heat. And the first – a coach that has never beaten Ohio State, first coach ever to lose four in a row, that is heat. I guarantee you. I guarantee you he's feeling heat.
It was 39 degrees below zero in Michigan the other day. It is not hot. He's fine. All right, now.
Another breaking news is Jerry Sandusky denied request for a new trial.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
I hope
he rots.
Rots forever.
I can't believe he's still alive.
You know who I feel really bad for? Is the Ravens radio play-by-play guy.
Jerry Sandusky.
His name is Jerry Sandusky. Yeah.
Spells it differently, though.
Yeah, it's Jerry with a G, I think. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
But it's still.
Hi, I'm Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, because like there are those fun mistakes on Twitter, right? Like Brandon Marshall, the linebacker for the Broncos, gets confused with the real Brandon Marshall all the time.
Well, people name Chris, Chris Kringle. I mean, you know, there are people out
like
there.
That happens.
James Kirk. There are people out there that have these names.
So tonight, there's going to be a kid at the State of the Union with the last name Trump.
Right.
And he's going to, you know, Trump's going to not to go off on a political thing or whatever, but that's just an unfortunate last name for these times.
Well, the kid is being bullied at school.
Because his name is Trump.
And that's why Donald Trump is going to make him a guest at the State of the Union and possibly talk about bullying.
And then. No, kids are mean. They don't care who's in the White House. They're just going to pick on kids to pick on kids.
I'm torn because that's an 8, right? State of the Union? Or is that at 9?
It's at 9 Eastern.
Oh, it's at 9.
Yes.
See, that's second half of UNC NC State.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's going to be pretty dramatic tonight.
I think it's priorities, man.
To go, he's going to go after Nancy Pelosi with her sitting right over his left shoulder.
That's going to be great.
That's must-see TV. I'm sorry.
I agree.
I don't care what side you're on. That's entertaining.
I agree. It's got to be a Bovada prop bets for tonight's State of the Union. Got to be. Let's look. Hold on.
Grab my phone real quick.
Hold on.
That was a Pavlovian response by Chris. Well, that phone was in his hand within like 2 seconds.
But, you know, hell did freeze. Did you hear about this? This is actually a hell Michigan, right?
There is a hell Michigan.
Hell literally froze over last week. It was minus 52 or 59, whatever it was.
Oh, we got prop bets on the State of the Union.
There we go.
All right, LeVar Ball is going to have to wait a minute.
Yeah,
what do we got?
All right, so the over-under, 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 30 seconds.
I'm
going
to say under.
It's going off at even money.
He has the third longest.
I think he'll go over there.
Last year was the third longest at an hour 20. By the way, Bill Clinton has the top two longest.
Have they stopped with, and it doesn't matter who's in the way, have they stopped with the State of the Union applause for 2 minutes every three words? I mean, is there a time limit here? I mean,
no.
Do you have to have applause every state, every paragraph?
His relationship with Congress is pretty contentious right now.
I
don't think it's going to be a lot
every,
of applause.
Every president in my lifetime, when in the State of the Union, you stop it a million times for applause.
There's applause lines written into the speech. Absolutely.
Right. The over-under, how many times will Kavanaugh be mentioned? Over-under 1.5.
Oh.
Over plus 110, under minus 140.
Interesting.
How many times will Trump say Mexico? 2.5.
Oh, I'm going over. What's that?
Over is minus 140. Under is plus 110.
I got to go over.
I'm going to throw one. mention of a wall. They don't like to use the word wall now.
Oh,
it's
barrier.
Yeah. I bet the word wall does not get mentioned.
Barrier, a buffer. Yeah.
There's a word bet out there. What will be said more, wall or huge? Wall is -600, huge is +400.
Oh, I might go huge.
What is Fusilia Kia doing the State of the Union tonight?
I might go huge.
Huge. What color will Trump's tie be?
Red.
-140, that's the odds on favorite. Blue is +110. That might be a value play there.
I'm going to go red.
I love this.
I'm going to go red.
I love this.
And other is +450.
Why don't you go out like a, I don't know, polka dot?
That's other. That's +450. Patterns don't do well on TV.
And he never does patterns. He always wears solid ties.
I think it's red.
It's solid red.
Yeah. Will Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez stand at any point?
Stand?
AOC, will she stand at any point during the
stand?
Speech?
She's going to throw spitballs at her with a straw.
Yes is -300. No is +240.
Stand.
Wow. What? They're saying she's going to stand.
For what?
And applaud?
I don't know. It just says stand.
Wow.
It just says
what is that? All right. Is that when she's getting up at the end, does that mean?
She's been in office for 1 month, and already her own party, the Democrats, are planning to run somebody against her.
The last two, will Trump say crying Chuck?
Oh, Chuck Schumer?
Oh, Chuck Schumer.
Oh.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I'm going to say no. We're going to see a more polite Trump tonight.
Yes is 14-1.
Hold on a second. You're dismissing the fact that he doesn't write these speeches as little flunkies do. Speechwriter does. They will come up with these quirky, stupid, corny little jokes, just like all presidents do when they meet and greet athletes out on the lawn. I'm going to say maybe he doesn't want it. I'm sure he's pre-read the speech. Maybe
no, he has.
It's going to come up. I think it comes up.
I'm gonna do a guaranteed stone cold lock. He will not refer to him as crying Chuck tonight, and Nancy Pelosi will be referred to nothing other than Mrs. Speaker.
I don't know.
He'll be polite tonight. He'll be polite.
Okay, so here's if we'll he see. Refers to Nancy Pelosi as Mrs. Speaker,
right?
Is that a nickname?
Madam Speaker.
Is that a nickname? Because will Trump use a nickname for Nancy Pelosi? Yes, 10-1.
10-1, yeah. Not tonight.
I don't think tonight either.
That's a good value bet, Chris.
If he's on the campaign trail, absolutely stone cold lock. Almost, tonight, he'll be polite.
It's not quite Edelman getting 20-1 like I won, but man, that's something I would consider.
This is fascinating.
And those are all the props.
Will he screw up saying Madam Pelosi and say something else? I don't know.
Quite possible.
Oh, that's great.
That was fun.
All right.
I'm in.
So speaking of fun, now, if you've listened to this show at all, you know that LeVar Ball, we haven't talked much about him recently because he's been quiet. Ever since LeBron has joined the Lakers, LeVar has been silent about Lonzo and whatnot. We know that Lonzo is mentioned in every breath of every trade talk for Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. And you know that the Ball family, all they know is Los Angeles. They're in panic mode that Lonzo may be shipped up out of Hollywood and may have to live somewhere else, like New Orleans, for gosh sakes. So LeVar comes up with this deal 2 days ago. We'd rather go somewhere where we can win, you know, like Phoenix, where the Suns are the second worst team in the league. Makes no sense whatsoever. And then a Phoenix radio station called him up and did an interview with him. So they basically said, why do you want to come here? Anyway, I'll let you listen to this because he really goes scorched earth and rips Luke Walton, the head coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how much longer Lonzo Ball is going to be a Laker, but it's got to be uncomfortable for him. Let's take a listen.
LeVar, why do you think Lonzo would be a better fit in Phoenix? Why?
He's a better fit in Phoenix because they got some young athletes. They've been losing. They need a winning attitude. The Lakers gave my boy that losing attitude. If you look at my boys, one thing they do is win. Being undefeated, Jello and Melo winning 60 games in a row. I mean, my boys don't lose too much. But when it got to the Lakers, they got that Luke Walton was the worst coach ever for Lonzo because he had a losing mentality. He's been losing for 3 years.
That's
what you develop losing.
LeVar, that makes me nervous because if you want to talk losing – We're the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, please.
It's been a decade since Steve Nash. Yes.
It's time for something new. The Ball Boys. time for something new to change the whole culture over there.
Now, do we have to trade half the team? Do we have to get, like, all three boys? Or can we just start with Lonzo and see how that goes?
Don't feed his ego even
more. You don't see how it goes. I'm telling you how to go. If somebody told you how to make a cake, put all the recipe that goes in there. Don't be like, you know what? I'm just going to use the butter and the sugar and wait till we get on the flour. No.
LeVar. Everything. LeVar, why is it not working in L.A. for your son Lonzo?
Why is it not working in L.A.? Because Lonzo, he makes everybody better. How can you make somebody better if you've got four people dribbling the ball up the court? You put him in the corner. You're trying to make him a 3-and-D guy. He's never been no guy to just shoot threes and play hell of a defense. He's been a guy who controls the game. And you can't control the game if you're sitting on the bench and they're taking you in and out the game. The reason he started doing better, everybody's like, oh, Lonzo's finally getting it. No, everybody was hurt on the Lakers, and you start playing my boy 35 minutes and more. Now you're getting some victories.
That's on the Doug and Wolf show at 8-7 in Arizona.
Not really.
Which one of you guys had the theory that this is a last-ditch effort by LeVar to damage the product of Lonzo so that the Pelicans don't want
him? Yes, that's my little conspiracy theory. He did this on purpose so as to have every other GM in the NBA back off besides the Suns and the Pelicans, because he's doing this because he's trying to get in Del Demps' head, like, okay, you're going to trade my son to the New Orleans Lakers? Well, I'm coming with you, and I'm going to be a pain in the butt, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? And Del Demps is probably giving him the bird right now, saying, I'll do what's best for my team. And it might very well be that at the end of the day. It might be a 7-for-1 7-for-1 trade. Might be 6-for-1. But I do think it's going to happen. I do. I think Del Demps is going to pull the trigger because he doesn't know what Kyrie Irving's going to do with the Celtics.
Yes.
And that's going to be, he'd rather do this now, get it over with, than risk Kyrie leaving, possibly for the Knicks, and taking KD with him over there. And then why would Danny Ainge want to trade for Antonio Davis, give up all two stars that he has already, or one star and an uppercomer in Jaylen Brown and draft picks for Anthony Davis? Why would you do that without Kyrie there? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Danny still wants
to do it. No, I think everything you said makes sense and adds up, and it seems very reasonable. So if we play this out, the trade deadline on Thursday, the Lakers, now keep in mind, this interview, let me back up even further. We were always saying, look, all this hype back when Lonzo was at UCLA and LeVar was getting every media platform handed to him and just running his mouth and quote-unquote willing his son to the Lakers and duping Magic Johnson into drafting him.
He did.
And
he did. He did it.
Yeah. He did it.
Magic fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, which surprises me.
Now, let's fast forward a couple years. So this interview happens today, because we always said, wait till he gets to the pros. The men in the locker room are not going to put up with this. And so the Lakers were on the road. They flew all night to Indianapolis last night to take on the Pacers tonight. So they wake up, and then they eventually get wind of this interview. And some of these teammates, and Luke Walton in particular, has got to be saying, dude, just shut your dad's mouth. It's unbelievable. It's going to create an awkward situation in the locker room because they still have the game tonight and then the game against Boston on Thursday, which will be after the trade deadline.
On TNT.
But I imagine he'll still be with the team unless it happens early in the morning and won't play. Either way, he won't play. So you got all this going on. It is a soap. And then Magic Johnson, who is desperate for a deal because he's already whiffed on the first two primo free agents. These were stone cold guys that said, I want to go play for Los Angeles. And Magic Johnson hasn't been able to get Kawhi Leonard Paul George. And now if he whiffs on Anthony Davis, he's done. Because remember, he told Jeannie Buss in the world, if I don't get this done in 2 years, and by the way, I've got LeBron already, I just got to get one more, this will be a piece of cake. If I don't get anybody in 2 years, I'll need to step down. If he doesn't get Anthony Davis, he's done. Or either that, he's going to break his promise and hang on and milk a big contract.
That never happens in sports.
Yeah. but I don't see any path to success for Magic Johnson and the Lakers. And then there's the other thing. I don't think free agents want to play with LeBron and be in his shadow with everything that goes on. So it's him. And right now, Magic Johnson,
you don't think Anthony Davis wants to play?
Anthony Davis
is still the one guy that says he still wants to go to L.A. But now the Pelicans know this. The Pelicans can sit and wait if they want. They got Magic Johnson by the shorts here. Magic has now offered six players, four draft picks, and cap relief. He can't offer anymore. And the Pelicans are like, eh, we'll wait and see if you make your deal better.
And you know what? Good for Dell Demps.
Absolutely.
Good for him.
Absolutely. You got a top five player. You might as well milk it before you lose him.
Yeah.
And now now it's Magic's turn to blink with the Lakers.
And you wonder if Dell has been on the phone or talking to Danny Ainge, thinking, just like trying to get, or talking to maybe somebody that's inside the Celtics organization. God, you know. Can you give me 80-20 that Kyrie's going to stay? Give me that. Maybe I'll hold off. Because if this does not get done, then right now I think it's 50-50 Kyrie stays or leaves. And if he leaves, he's definitely going with the Knicks. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, if they don't pull this trade off, then maybe he stays.
Although the fact that it's a possibility for Kyrie to team up again with LeBron is... It's fascinating.
I'm not buying the way that
they're talking about each other. No. It makes me think, they've talked.
It's like they didn't realize what they had. When they had it. Maybe.
But the Lakers
just
can't
the fact
gamble
that
on
it's
that.
A possibility.
Yeah,
they could take the sure not the sure thing, but a better thing here because you know you're not giving all that up for Kyrie.
Yeah. All right, your reaction, 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. Join us on your way home here with your own commentary. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Been having a fun day today between LeVar Ball, Sports Dynasties. By the way, we'll have to update our Twin Peaks Twitter poll on Sports Dynasties and whether they're good for sports in general and sports fans. We'll get to all that as well. 239-337 ESPN. Let's go to the phones. Davey in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Hello.
Hey, Davey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's happening?
I'm doing well, cruising home from work, listening to you guys like always.
I wanted to chime in
on the Anthony Davis situation.
Yes.
Heard you say you think it's going to get done. I just saw the latest Woj bomb that said that they're asking for 6 to 8 first-round picks. How much is this offer going to change, and are they going to get anything better than Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, and the picks that are already presented to them? First of all,
you said 6 to 8 picks. It's going to be six players and up to 4 picks. That's the latest. That'd be probably 2 first rounds and 2 second rounders.
Yeah, and that's negotiable. That's what they're waiting for, Dave. That's what the Lakers are waiting for the Pelicans to come back with a counter offer. I think this deal is going to. I think the wild card in this, as I've said earlier, is Kyrie Irving. I think if the Pelicans knew that he was staying in Boston, and that would be, then they know that the Angels probably going to make a deal for Anthony Davis, and they got way better assets, as everybody knows by now. But if he doesn't, then all bets are off, and then he's better off making this deal now because I don't think it's going to get any better than what the Lakers have. And I don't think it's great, even with the 3 guys they're giving him and all the draft picks. But I think, Davey, it's going to get done. My gut feeling is telling me this is going to get done somehow, some way by Thursday.
I agree. Do you think that Demps is slightly foolish, though, for – potentially passing on those 3 players and those picks for just a chance at a Jason Tatum?
There's a lot of gray area there for him. Unless he knows absolutely that Kyrie Irving is not going to be there, because if he's not and goes to the Knicks, I don't think personally Danny Ainge is going to trade for Anthony Davis without Kyrie Irving being there. I could be dead wrong, but I don't think that's going to happen. But it would be a better deal if for the Pelicans to deal with the Celtics and not the Lakers.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Look, I guess I'd rather have Jason Tatum because you could build around him. But
it's not just Tatum, though.
Right, right.
Tatum and Brown's
a nice combo. But if it's not, if it's a pipe dream, if it's not going to happen, I'm still intrigued with Kyle Kuzma. I mean, okay, he's having a bad sophomore year or less, you know, not
I think
as
he's better
year.
Than Lonzo.
Absolutely. I think he's the diamond in the rough there. I mean, can he turn into a Kevin Love someday? I don't know. I think he's a good basketball player. I wouldn't mind having him on my team.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really good basketball player.
Yeah, you heard LeVar Ball last time. I'm going to talk about the 3-and-D player. It's what Kuzma can turn into, a maybe a slightly better version of a Trevor Ariza.
Yeah. Oh, Trevor Ariza. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
Well, he's unfortunately wasting his talents with the Wizards this year.
Well, I think he's the missing link in Houston.
I agree with that. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Instead, they wanted to bring in Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Again, this was what reportedly the Lakers were offering up. Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, Ivica Zubac, mm-hmm. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and two first-round picks for Anthony Davis and Solomon Hill.
A 239, just texting. Like how the New England guy is saying the Celtics have a better deal.
They do.
I could be from Siberia. There isn't anybody on the planet that doesn't agree the Celtics have more assets to trade. That's just the way it is. They have better players, and they have more draft picks. That's not just me. That's just what they have lined up. There isn't anybody on any talk show in America that will tell you any differently. And we've been saying it for a month because Anthony Davis said this has been going on for a month. The rumors about him.
Just a question if you're Dell Demps, the GM with New Orleans, do you want to sit back, turn down a deal that it's a good deal that the Lakers are offering up?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Do you want to risk it for the biscuit and go for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum over the mm-hmm. offseason with the risk that Kyrie Irving leaves Boston, which will then take away from AD going to Boston, because at that point, why would he want to go mm-hmm. to Boston?
Also a risk of injury if Anthony Davis even plays ever again this year with his quote-unquote finger injury.
And 239, it's a good point. We brought this up before. How does anyone know Celtics are going to give up Tatum and Brown for a guy that doesn't want to be there? The reason why Anthony Davis has said recently, I'm looking at other teams to sign long term, is because he doesn't know Kyrie Irving now has seemed to have changed his mind a little bit. Davis got a standing ovation at the Garden last month when they came, or whenever it was, a few weeks ago, whenever it was. If he knew Kyrie Irving was going to stay with the Celtics, I promise you he would not have given these little terms like Milwaukee, the Lakers, or other teams. But nobody knows what Kyrie wants to do from what he said the last week, over the weekend.
239 said he's just giving you a hard time, Pete.
I know. I have a little file now. Yeah. But other people will think that, but it's not me. It's just it's what is available.
All right. And of course the real issue here is whether, you know, Boston could go another right. 3 months without a parade of some sort.
And you've got and I said it earlier this week, if you're a team like Milwaukee who hasn't won since the 70s, mm-hmm. I would go all in.
Yes.
Put the Greek Freak, say he is untouchable. Yeah. Other than that,
yes.
Pick mm-hmm. the players you want. You got four of them.
Right.
And my first round next year and the first round after that.
Yeah.
For AD, yeah. for a year and a half rental. But think about that front line.
Right.
That front court. AD and Giannis? But they're freaks. Yeah.
But weren't the Bucks one of the four teams that Anthony Davis said yes. he would re-sign
Yeah, he
with?
Did.
Yes.
He did.
Clippers?
He did.
Bucks?
That's
Lakers?
That's where I think if you're Milwaukee, you have to go all in. I mean, they've got nice pieces surrounding Giannis, but it's not what AD can bring.
I don't know. Dopey says, I don't understand how Boston's in it at all because Anthony Davis will only stay there 1 year and leave. He's not going to sign long term. You're taking a big chance for the Celtics, and they can't really talk. No, to July 1st. Again, we know that. They can't talk to him July 1st. And yes, I agree. But Danny Ainge is not pulling the trigger on that deal unless there is a wink wink, knowing full well he's going to sign long term. Of course, they're not going to make that deal unless they know for sure that he's going to sign long term.
And Anthony Davis and Kyrie they are friends. They are boys. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think if Kyrie stays on with the Celtics, that opens the door for Danny Ainge to go after Davis because he knows that he'll have a great team in Boston, be playing with one of his friends.
You're not in Golden State's conference.
Yeah.
I mean, and for the next few years, you're going up against Philly?
Yeah, Philly.
I mean, Milwaukee's good, but I think that those two guys together are better than anything that Milwaukee could put out there. If Ben Simmons ever develops a jump shot, would love to see what kind of player he becomes. And let's not forget about Toronto.
Do you think mm-hmm. Philly is a wild card on Thursday? Like trade one of their big pieces Thursday? Because they just seem it's not, the chemistry's not. Really?
Well, I don't know. They looked pretty good against Golden State last week, right? I mean, they beat them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the thing is, Fultz not being on the floor helps.
So. Yeah.
No, they're a better team with T.J. McDonald at point guard.
Yeah.
They're a better team with him out there. He can shoot because when you put Fultz out there, now you got two guards that can't shoot with him and Simmons.
Yeah,
right.
You need
that
guy that can at least threaten it. That's why J.J. Redick's so valuable to that team.
Yeah.
He can at least provide a little bit of floor spacing for him.
Tuesday night's campaign for AD to the Heat.
Man,
look,
I wish we were having a conversation. Pete just
mentioned that during a commercial break.
I said, man, it's too bad Miami wasn't involved in this somehow.
They don't have any room to be. Although
not even a third. They can't even be a third team.
No.
Nope. I mean, it could, but I mean, it's just not going to happen.
There's nothing around that. And I thought Miami, I don't know what their cap looks like moving forward. We know Erickson will pay the luxury tax if he knows he has a winner on his hand. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that KD in Miami makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I've always thought that, but you know, you come to Miami, that becomes your team. You move to the Eastern Conference. You're again away from LeBron James where, you know, and you're away from everything else that you got out there with Houston. And there's 15 good teams in the West. Mm-hmm. Right now, Minnesota's third to last in that conference. It's comical.
Yeah, it really is.
Meanwhile, the Heat are hanging around right at 500, and they're in the eighth seed
right now in the East.
Now.
Yep, they are.
Great. Go out and get bounced by Milwaukee. They just beat you by 20 a couple nights ago.
Yep, no doubt. All right. Well, if you missed it earlier, we announced we'll have John Ireland on the radio voice of the Lakers Friday at 3 o'clock. So this will be 24 hours after the trade deadline. The Lakers are ground zero with everything that's going on. They'll be coming off a game against your Boston Celtics, so it'll be a good time to have them on, and we'll kind of dot all the I's and cross the T's with what is shaping up to be a very interesting week around the NBA, no doubt about it.
By the way, tonight, if you're watching BC and Duke, Dick Vitale and Hubie Brown are going to call a game together for the first time. You know, they do ESPN's doing an NBA.
Who's doing the play-by-play?
With
the three-man booth.
Mark Jones?
Because here's what's going to happen.
No, not Mark Jones. He joined Mark Jones and Jay Billis last year.
Hubie is going to give you actual knowledge in X's and O's.
Might be Mark Jones. Is it Mark Jones?
And Dickie V is going to be, yeah, baby!
Yeah, but these guys have known each other for...
He's going to cheerlead.
They grew up down the street from each other in New Jersey, like 20 miles away.
I think Hubie is probably my
favorite...
During
the Depression.
I was going to say, Hubie is probably my favorite...
Yeah,
basketball analyst, because I learn something every time he does a game that I watch. He's
fantastic.
I've always
said, you want to get Hubie Brown and an unbelievable discussion about basketball, you bring up the Kentucky Colonels of the ABA when he was coaching there, and you will just sit back and listen to him, and it's amazing, not just the anecdotes, but his knowledge of the game is off the chart.
Yeah.
Off the chart. He's an awesome guy to talk to about hoops.
Meanwhile, Dickie V will just throw... acronyms out there. PT Beer, get a T.O.
He's getting
baby.
Better at that. He's getting a little better at that.
He's a double D, a diaper dandy. Come on, just stop it.
Back
stop
in the
it.
Day,
the shtick is done. It was cool in the 80s, fine in the 90s. This is 2019 now, Dickie.
It was really cool in the 80s.
He was a 3D man. Gosh. He dishes, he drives, he draws.
When Dickie B was doing your team's game in the 80s, sit back and enjoy.
Jeez.
Before Chris was born.
Listening to that BC. Guy do a Duke broadcast is...
Oh, Coach. No, the worst. The worst. Oh. No offense.
And I'm not even
was
against
IU
Duke.
Games. How many times? Talk about over-under. How many times did it say Robert Montgomery Knight? Oh, God.
First of all, what's the problem there?
No, but it was...
And
it was,
I love Billis. So I think Billis is fantastic.
Every IU game you knew, which everybody that Bobby Knight... coached at Army, that he was a tough SOB, and he graduates players. That's all you heard in between.
All facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great 30 for 30 on him, wasn't it?
It was.
Did not paint us in a good light. Just win, baby.
Who was the president at the time, or the chancellor of the university?
Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was Bob Knight.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Good one, Chris.
Yeah. Well, that's true for a lot of universities today. Who has more power at Duke? Coach K or the president?
Yeah.
Not going to go down that road?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the same for your your Tar Heels.
No, what are you talking about? The president of Alabama's got way more power than Nick Saban.
Makes half as much money, too.
Nope.
Unfact.
For all false. Dickie V needs to go and take Lee Corso with him. Bite your tongue.
Oh, my gosh. I just found my soulmate. I love 401.
401. In fact, that's his new nickname. Chris's soulmate when he comes up on our board every time.
Oh, my gosh.
Re-edit that.
Leave Lee Corso alone.
You want to go to dinner?
Wow. Chris will buy drinks. All right, coming up, we got What You Got. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
And, of course, What You Got, brought to you by our good friends at Twin Peaks. And, of course, I want to remind you that at Twin Peaks, there's something from the made-from-scratch menu for every fan's appetite. The perfect sidekick to any meal is a Twin Peaks signature beer served at a frosty 29 degrees. Oh, that sounds good at the end of a show. And it's in a 22-ounce man-sized mug. That's their large drinks over there, right? You get the man-sized.
Oh,
Twin
yeah.
Peaks. Eat, drinks, and scenic views. All right, what I got on this day in history, February 5th, just 2017, 2 years ago today, was... 28-3. Then it wasn't. Tom Brady, biggest comeback, Super Bowl history. Patriots beat the Falcons 34-28. Last time you had a Patriots parade, till today. So there. I know it's been a long
Thanks
haul.
Thanks for memories, yeah.
It's been tough. All right, that's all I got.
All right, our update our poll at 99.3 ESPN, our Twitter poll at 99.3 ESPN. Our dynasty is good for sports, over 300 votes, 86%. Say yes. I'm surprised that high.
Yeah, I am.
Yes.
Too. Thought there'd be more 14, haters out there.
14% say no.
Okay. Huh.
No.
All right. Chris, what you got?
I think I'm going to go blue tie tonight for Donald Trump. That's
really?
Plus 140. Yeah, going to, you know, the red tie I think is
really?
Too easy.
Too played.
Blue, I think it's more of a unifying color, less fiery, and that's the theme tonight. It's all about unification.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to go blue tie tonight for Donald Trump.
I like your thinking there. That's at 9 o'clock Eastern.
That's a tough one. They get that's plus 140?
Yeah. Red is minus 110. Other, what was it, plus 400, I think?
Yeah.
You know, if he goes like Bill Clinton and goes yellow, it's going to mess with a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's gone canary before.
He has?
Gone canary yellow before. I don't know his president.
I've almost exclusively seen him red and
I
blue.
I don't know about his president. Oh. But on, what was that TV show? The Apprentice. He went canary before.
Did he really? And then he opened up his own line of ties. All right. So, yeah, playing your night tonight. North Carolina State, North Carolina. Catch that here on 99.3 ESPN.
They got it. Let's see over under them. They scored more than 24 points. I mean, that was embarrassing. I couldn't believe it. It's not like Virginia Tech played any better, really. They scored 47-24. When's the last time you saw a game like that?
That didn't involve Virginia.
Lowest point total by a Power 5 conference since 1985.
Wow.
1985.
Do you recall who it was in 85?
Georgetown.
Can I make a bet?
Georgetown and somebody, I forget.
Was it North Carolina with Dean Smith running his four corners?
Well, it was...
Maybe.
It was not.
Maybe.
I also remember one of those games, though, where it was... Was it Kentucky and Carolina, and Dean Smith did that, and it was like... I don't know. It was 22 points late in the game. I used to hate that.
Me too. Very frustrating. Four corners. What a weak strategy.
Oh, it was.
Not a very smart coach. Couldn't come up with anything more exciting than that. Four corners. Give me a break.
Yeah, NC State scored 24 points last week. Over the weekend, I should say. Over the weekend.
That's rough. Tomorrow, we've got the U taking on Notre Dame. Not quite the same flair as a football matchup.
Not even close. No, they're struggling. I mean, they show flashes, but they
Who was it? They had one of their best players, Angel Hernandez, ruled ineligible by the NCAA. Once again, the NCAA, no clue what they're doing.
Nope. And they played Virginia tough the other day in Virginia. They lost by 10, but that was like a 4 or 5 point game. A lot of these even 4 or 5 point game most of the way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find this other where this happened.
What the
lowest game?
85?
It was 85 and. I thought Georgetown was involved in it.
When did the 3-point line come in? 86?
86, well, it came.
Well, the ACC used it first.
Used it first in tournament play.
Right.
Yeah, their own tournament. And then it wasn't the other. But it really came into play in 86. That's when it started.
The Big Ten messed around for a few years with going 6 fouls, didn't they?
Big East did.
Okay.
Yep.
Terrible idea.
3-point line in 86. The Hoosiers win it all in 87. We were quickest to figure it out.
At the time, it was fine because the Big East was.
How's it gone since then?
Most physical conference.
What's your point, Chris?
Well, look, I was rooting for you guys on Saturday night.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your support. I felt it.
By the way, ESPN.com has a little game where you can become one of the all-star captains and pick your teams.
Oh, I think I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, I just did it.
Yeah,
I was Giannis.
Who's your team? Okay.
I was Giannis.
Yeah.
I won 181-143.
Oh, it already played it out for you?
Oh, yeah. It simulates the whole thing. So my starters were Giannis, James Harden, Steph, Paul George, and Joel Embiid.
What was the score?
181-143.
That's too low. That's low scoring for an all-star game.
Look, guys, I got Giannis. I got Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. I got length on the perimeter.
You do.
Paul George.
Long arms.
MVP-esque
means nothing.
Season.
There's no defense.
Nah, my guys, I coached him up.
He held his team to 143.
It's all about standards.
By all-star figures? That's a shutout. They didn't hit 200?
Game has become the NBA All-Star game.
No, the skills contest is the most entertaining part of All-Star weekend. Because even the 3-point and the dunk now is kind of...
So what else is there?
There's the rookie sophomore game.
That's more entertaining than the real game.
Can be.
Your guy's actually trying to play a little bit of defense.
All right, boys and girls, that'll do it for another day. For Chris, for Pete Shepard, yeah. I'm great. I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. What? And God bless America.